Colonel went to the colour of a fig that has attained great ripeness, and Reginald, ignoring my efforts to intercept him, glided away to another part of the lawn. I found him a few minutes later, happily engaged in teaching the youngest rampage boy the approved theory of mixing absinthe, within full earshot of his mother. Mrs. Rampage occupies a prominent place in local temperance movements. As soon as I had broken up this unpromising tete-a-tete and settled Reginald where he could watch the croquet players losing their tempers, I wandered off to find my hostess and renew the kitten negotiations at the point where they had been interrupted. I did not succeed in running her down at once, and eventually it was Mrs. MacKillop who sought me out, and her conversation was not of kittens. "Your cousin is discussing Zaza with the Archdeacon's wife. At least, he is discussing. She is ordering her carriage." She spoke in the dry staccato tone of one who repeats a French exercise, and I knew that as far as Milly MacKillop was concerned, Wumples was devoted to a lifelong celibacy. "If you don't mind," I said hurriedly, "I think we'd like our carriage ordered too." And I made a forced march in the direction of the croquet ground. I found everyone talking nervously and feverishly of the weather and the war in South Africa, except Reginald, who was reclining in a comfortable chair, with the dreamy, faraway look that a volcano might wear just after it had desolated entire villages. The Archdeacon's wife was buttoning up her gloves with a concentrated deliberation that was fearful to behold. "I shall have to treble my subscription to her cheerful Sunday evenings fund before I dare set foot in her house again." At that particular moment, the croquet players finished their game, which had been going on without a symptom of finality during the whole afternoon. Why, I ask, should it have stopped precisely when a counter-attraction was so necessary? Everyone seemed to drift towards the area of disturbance, of which the chairs of the Archdeacon's wife and Reginald formed the storm centre. Conversation flagged, and there settled upon the company that expectant hush that precedes the dawn, when your neighbours don't happen to keep poultry. "What did the Caspian see?" asked Reginald with appalling suddenness. There were symptoms of a stampede. The Archdeacon's wife looked at me. "Kipling, or someone, has described somewhere the look a foundered camel gives when the caravan moves on and leaves it to its fate." The peptonised reproach in the good lady's eyes brought the passage vividly to my mind. I played my last card. "Reginald, it's getting late, and a sea mist is coming on." I knew that the elaborate curl over his right eyebrow was not guaranteed to survive a sea mist. "Never, never again will I take you to a garden party. Never. You behaved abominably. What did the Caspian see?" A shade of genuine regret for misused opportunities passed over Reginald's face. "After all," he said, "I believe an apricot tie would have gone better with the lilac waistcoat."